Testing, testing. Woo! Nice little alarm clock there. So I think we'll get started. I have right at 5 o'clock. My name is Brent Witchell, and I work at Microsoft. And I've been with Microsoft for about 16, a little over 16 years. And it's interesting because I've been traveling. I work out of Charlotte, North Carolina. So my role at Microsoft is I travel from Miami all the way up to the upper end of the Carolinas, talking to some of our most strategic enterprise customers. And I've been doing this for quite some time. And the things that I talk to customers about is all things productivity. So it's interesting. It's exciting times at our company. Hopefully you've seen some insight into that this week, and you'll see some more of that as you travel through the remaining days here at TechEd. Today, I'm going to cover a topic that's near and dear to my heart, and I think if you're an IT pro, hopefully you will leave here thinking, wow, this has kind of been an aha moment for me. And it has everything to do with the way that organizations think of change management with respect to the next version of Office. So typically, people cringe when I meet IT pros and I say, hey, there's a new version of Office, and they're like, oh my gosh, do you know how long it took me to deploy the last version? And so we're going to talk to some at some length about what's changed from an IT pro perspective. And I think you'll leave here pretty excited, as that's typically the response that I get with some of the customers that I encounter. The second half of this is really around so what, right? So there's a new version of Office, and maybe you tell me why you make deployment much easier, but why do I care? And so this is where I think from an IT pro perspective, you can become much more strategic to your organization. And we'll get into some of the reasons why that's the case. But why do your business partners, why do the people that you support want the next version of Office? And so it all has to do with this topic of Office 365 Pro Plus. We're going to spend a little bit of time kind of defining that. How do you get it? Where does it come from and what's different? And so I think it should be a pretty packed session with a lot of content that hopefully you will walk away thinking, okay, I want to maybe go do a deeper dive on some of this and attend different sessions. And I'll have some really good resources that I'll share at the end as well to kind of talk to you about where you can go and really dig in deep as an IT pro to learn more about some of these topics. One thing that I will share is I do tweet. I'm not one of these guys that uses Twitter like, hey, I'm going out with the wife, or you know, the kids just scored a home run at baseball. Most of the things that I use Twitter for are, hey, customers, if you follow me, there's things that I learn about productivity kind of right off the front lines, if you will, and I share that when it's public knowledge so that other people like yourselves can learn from those things that I'm learning internal to Microsoft. Again, when it's appropriate, I'm not sharing insider information or anything, but so anyway, that's been handy for some people. And the other thing is, at the end, I'll share with you a website that I have for external facing customers to go and again learn about a lot of the things that I'll talk through today. So the agenda is, what was the life of an IT pro like before this new thing that Microsoft is calling Office 365 Pro Plus? So I'll do a quick kind of rundown of that, maybe throw a little humor here and there. So if you giggle, I'll know that I was successful. If not, I'll blame it on the fact that I'm presenting at 5 o'clock at the end of the day. I'll also talk to you about Office 365 Pro Plus. So there's a lot of confusion, to be quite honest with you. It's getting better, but when we first came out with the customer preview, trust me, I've gotten in front of so many people that they're like, okay, we want what you told us, but you know, we want it this way. And I'm like, well, here's the way you get Office 365 Pro Plus, and here's what's different. So we'll go through some of that and maybe clear up some FUD around that. Then we're going to dive into change management and talk about the value from an IT pro perspective. And then again, as I mentioned before, we're going to dive in and I'll do some demo of some of my favorite capabilities that I think your end users, your business partners are going to really, they're probably already asking you for solutions that already exist as part of Office 365 Pro Plus. And so you will be, again, more strategic in going and saying, hey, look what we now have to offer you and the value that it brings to you. So let's take a look at this. So I'm not going to say that you've seen this gentleman as you're walking in or you're driving into your office on the corner, but I do get in front of enough IT pros where I know that every day you guys and gals are beat upside the head saying, hey, we want the latest and greatest, right? The latest and greatest productivity tools, You know, how can we get it? Very impatient the businesses are, right? They sometimes will even try and circumvent IT to go right to the partner that they think has the best solution, and you might say things like, wow, we already own something like this today. So you need to slow down and let's try and rethink, you know, the speed in which you want to get access to this stuff. This might look familiar as well. You know, there's the IT pro with kind of a blank stare as all these people. Now, this is the humor part, by the way. I'm going to try and tee this up. So you have the head of marketing there saying, hey, listen, I have this huge need to be able to sync content and share with external partners, vendors, customers, right? So maybe my ad agency. You have finance saying, hey, I need to do a better job of visualizing and analyzing data. And I saw Brent come in and present to me on Excel, and man, I need the things that he showed me, so I need it today, right? Then you have this person saying, I'm going to bite the finger off of this other lady. Okay, a couple chuckles. No, so this is your sales department saying, hey, listen, and we hear this honestly, and you probably realize this as well. Your business partners are saying, hey, I want one solution, right? I want this very integrated experience. I don't want to feel like I'm leaving one tool that's not integrated with another tool, right, that I have to go and interact with. So if I'm in CRM, I want to be able to be social and have that same social experience. If I'm co-authoring a document and I see a presence bubble showing me that someone who's in the document with me is online, I want to be able to reach out with them using links, so that integrated link experience across the platform, whether I'm in SharePoint or in Outlook. And so all the time, you, Mr. or Mrs. IT Pro, is sitting there thinking, you have no idea what it takes for me and our organization to deploy a version of Office each time Microsoft releases a new version. And so here's why you guys have previously, when it comes to deploying Office, kind of cringed at a new version. And so what we've typically found to be the case is IT departments will sit there and say, okay, there's a new version, let's go and start assembling a team, right? So the team gets in a room and you say, okay, Cindy Lou Who, you go talk to finance and figure out what add-ins they're loading, right? What are they using, what's critical to the business? And you go tell them that they need to dedicate time to test the new version, and they come back and say, you guys are crazy, we're in crunch, it's the end of the fiscal, so we're gonna have to put this off for 6 months. And so you guys, okay, we'll go move on to HR, and we'll tell HR to do the same thing, right? All the time, you know, with the old model of deploying Office, the MSI model, that coexistence is not a true reality until now. And we'll get to the now in a second. But there were some huge decisions you had to make before you pushed the magic button to push the new version of Office out. For example, Outlook cannot have two different versions on the same machine, right? And so what that means is before you force the new version out to everybody in your organization, you have to make sure that every bit of risk is minimized before you do that, right? And so all this resources, all the resources that you have, all the time, the money, and the effort that you put into preparing, planning, testing, and remediating issues right even before you ever get to where you deploy, right? And the reason is that you don't want to disrupt the business. And so we found that customers have taken, on average, about 2 years at times, depending on the size of the organization, right? But it can take upwards of 2 years for an organization to fully deploy the latest version. So if you think of that from a pace of innovation perspective, you're pretty much lagging behind a lot of folks who are able to keep up faster. And so we've heard loud and clear, Microsoft, we need you guys to keep up with new capabilities, but you're killing us with all these new, every 3 years, big bang approach of capabilities that we have to go train our end users. We have to go and do all this upfront testing and remediation. And so what we did at Microsoft with this Office 365 Pro Plus that I'm going to introduce in a second is we basically went back to the drawing board and we reimagined the whole deployment of Office. And so we really want you, if this is the way you walked into this room thinking, wow, it's this huge, colossal effort to deploy Office, we want you to get away from thinking that way. And we want to introduce you to the new Office 365 Professional Plus. And so this is just kind of a primer to introduce you to where does Office 365 Pro Plus come from, how do you get it, and we'll then talk about some of the value. So most of you, I'm assuming, are familiar with Office 365, which is all of our server workloads, most people think of like Exchange, Link, and SharePoint, coming from our multi-tenant cloud environment. But also, Office has been a part of that. And Office has been a part of Office 365 even back when it was called BPOS. However, there's some differences now with the new Office that we'll talk about in a second. So depending on the size of the organization, if you are leveraging Office 365 and you're a small business, you're probably going to consume Office 365 Small Business Premium. If you're a middle-sized business, we have a plan for that. And we have many plans for enterprises as well. Now, this is kind of the aha moment. I want to make sure we really land this. When you are an Office 365 customer and you're deploying Office as an Office 365 customer, the version of Office that you get is Office 365 Pro Plus. So most of you until today probably went to the volume license site and you would download Office 2013 Professional Plus or Office 2013 Standard, right? And then you'd bring it down locally and you'd go and use the Office customization tool and you're back to the old way of deploying where you have all this upfront planning and testing, et cetera. Office 365 Professional Plus is exclusive, right, to Office 365. So it only comes from the cloud. You can't go get it from volume license sites. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, Brent, we have a great Exchange infrastructure already on premises. We have SharePoint on premises with lots of great resources that manage and control that environment for us. Same thing with Link. And so what a lot of people don't know, and hopefully this is a nugget that you'll take away as well, is that there's actually the ability for you to consume just the deployment of Office through our Office 365 cloud, our content delivery network. So if you don't want any of your data in the cloud, that's completely fine. We have a plan that is just the delivery of Office 365 Pro Plus to your organization via the cloud. And so one of the big misconceptions around Office 365 Professional Plus is, well, what's the difference, right? Is it like this web apps version of Office? And it's truly a local install of the Office suite, all of the icons that you see represented there, just like you would get if you use the MSI version, but the deployment and the updating and some of the benefits are completely new to just this Office 365 Professional Plus SKU. So this is where we start talking about the value. So why do you care about Office 365 Professional Plus? Why would I want to go this route versus going and getting the volume license bits, right, and doing the going back to the old MSI method of deployment? And so this is where things get really interesting, and this is a slide that these slides are available. Feel free to kind of bring this back to your organization and share it with others. Feel free to go and engage your local account team and have them come and re-explain this if that's of value. But here's where I tend to spend a significant amount of time, and this is around, again, our deployment reimagined, right? And so what we did is we listened to a lot of our large enterprise customers that really struggled with deployment. Even at every 3 years, we found that there was customers that were 5 years behind on the version of Office. And so obviously, we wanted, again, to keep up with the pace of innovation. So we moved away from the MSI technology with Office 365 Pro Plus, and we now use what we call Click to Run. So Click to Run is using app virtualization under the covers, right? And so the difference is we now stream Office to each of your endpoints, right? Each of your Windows devices. And so the streaming is really key here because one of the things that we've done, instead of you using MSI where everything's like one big blob and it's copied down to each endpoint, we actually have broken the install up into multiple, think of it as a Lego puzzle, right? So all the components that make up Office are these little bitty Lego pieces. And so when we talk about updating in a minute, that plays a key role in some of the value that Click to Run offers from Office 365 Pro Plus. The second thing is, we talked about all the upfront testing, right, that you have to do, and the cost associated with all that, and the lack of getting the innovation in the hands of your line of business users. And we remedy that by offering flawless side-by-side support. Because we're using application virtualization to stream that down to your machine and run it, we now can completely run the new Office side by side with all versions back to 2003. So if you have 2003, 2007, 2010, and you've got line of business apps that are critical to finance, and you're like, well, we haven't tested it, you can literally, and we have customers that are literally now throwing Office over the wall, right, because of that flawless side-by-side support. And so what we learned back in previous versions is a lot of that resource, time, and money, and people that were going and doing all the testing just to make sure that you were minimizing the risk before you deploy, a lot of that was for nothing, right? Because along the way, while people would hit certain hiccups after they would deploy, there wasn't any huge, like, you know, critical situation that really disrupted business. And so what we're saying here is because Office runs side by side with all previous versions and all your add-ins in the previous versions stay loaded just like they did before you installed the new Office, the good news is if you deploy it and you push it out to everyone and you have a person that, you know, is chugging along, everything's fine for 2 weeks, and they open up some report that they have to open up every quarter and it's got a macro in it and it fails, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, I need to get this report out or we're going to disrupt business. The help desk call for all scenarios will always be the same. So they'll pick up the phone, call your help desk, and they'll say, just go open the old version of Office, right? Because we've not touched it at all. It's still installed. Now, from an IT pro perspective, there's some prescriptive guidance on how you can go about using what we call telemetry. I won't dive into telemetry. There's some great sessions here this week. Curtis Swain has one, so if you want to look up the presenter. But the telemetry will allow you to eventually look at the health of the new Office and how people are experiencing the new Office, and then eventually uninstall. It'll give you kind of peace of mind to say, we'll go and uninstall the old version, because we don't see organizations having multiple versions forever. We just want to be able to ease that pain and allow you to kind of focus on the things that matter. So instead of you putting all the upfront work into remediating issues, you throw the new Office over the wall, and as people call in and say, hey, I have a problem, and you say, go back to the old version while we investigate the issue, you're now actually investing time and resources into issues that you know matter, right? And so it's been a huge value add, again, when we get in front of our IT pro brethren. The third bullet here, which is really key, is updating. So I want to tell you a story around this. So back when we released the customer preview, right, we were really excited, and we said, hey, world, come see what we've been doing with the new Office. And so we made it available off of Microsoft.com, and we had, I think, around 300,000 people on a Friday afternoon come and download the new Office. What most of those people didn't realize is they were installing Office using Click to Run, this Office 365 Professional Plus. So that was on a Friday. On a Saturday, one of our developers, I believe it was an Excel developer, noticed that there was a bad issue that he discovered over the weekend in Excel. And so we, of course, were like, oh my gosh, we had 300,000 people that just installed the new Office preview, and we don't want them to have this bad experience, so we have to update those people. How are we going to do that? Well, again, think of the Office 365 Pro Plus bits as a bunch of tiny little pieces, right, different components. So that developer basically just checked in to our cloud content delivery network, the one small little piece of an update. And on Monday morning, when all those 300,000 people showed up to their work, or you know, they're at home or whatever they're doing, and they open the lid of their laptop and push the power button of their PC, we go out to our content delivery network in the cloud and we say, hey, is there an update? Oh yeah, we have this little bitty update that's going to prevent a crash from happening in Excel. Even if the user had Excel open, the new Excel open, we still go get that update and we basically bring it down local, and the next time they close down Excel and they launch it, they immediately have the update. So if you were one of those people, you probably, maybe you don't remember because you didn't get an alert, you didn't get anything. There were no hiccups, there were no friction involved at all. We seamlessly updated those 300,000 users. And it was one of the most, considered one of the most successful updates from Microsoft ever. And so that's a really neat story, and it kind of shows you the value from an IT pro perspective of how you can do the same thing with your organization. So the other thing that I want to talk about with regards to the deployment reimagined is a lot of people want to know, so what? How does it help me? You know, there's always this question of how do we save money, right? We're in the era of how do we save money and get a lot more bang for our buck. So we've had a couple case studies. One was, I think, Volkswagen. One was National Bank of Austria. They were like tap customers of ours, involved very early on in our development of the new office, and specifically tested Office 365 Professional Plus in the new deployment capabilities. And so they actually have provided numbers, and I believe you can find these public case studies, where they're claiming around $84 per user per year savings just on the deployment because of all those resources I talked about up front that most people are associate with deploying a new version. They now completely get rid of those and offset it to where it's on the back end. So they deploy and then they sit and they look and see if there's any issues that pop up and then they go address those. So it has tremendously saved them money on the deployment, but then think of the updating that I mentioned before, right? So basically you can kind of set it and forget it. You had a question? So the question, or the comment, I should say, was, so what if Microsoft makes a mistake and pushes out an update that really disrupts our business? So with all things Microsoft, of course, there's choice and flexibility. So from an IT pro perspective, when you are deploying Office, you can actually customize it where you say, you know what, never go check for an update. I'll do a really small pilot here just to make sure that nothing's going to break, right? And those are the tons of details. Like if I dug into those in this session, it would be a two-hour session. But on my website, you'll see a lot of that stuff where it talks about how to customize the install. So there's of course, a ton of flexibility and control that you have when you're deploying the click-to-run or Office 365 Pro Plus bits. So moving along, those are kind of how it helps you as an IT pro. But this is now some of the value associated and exclusive to Office 365 Pro Plus. And this one is really unique in that we now move from this device license model, where if I have someone in my organization that has two PCs, right, and a laptop, then I have to officially buy them three copies of Office. In this new model, with Office 365 Pro Plus, because you are now a subscriber of Office, we allow you to put Office on up to five computers. Those could be PCs or Macs, or a combination of any of which adds up to five. And so I'll talk about how that helps in end-user adoption as well in a few minutes. But that's huge, right? So that's a huge value add. And if you start thinking of the savings of all those additional copies of Office for one user, that could potentially, you know, and then tack that on to I see a hand back there. So I'll get to you in just a second. When you tack that on to the $84 per user savings for the deployment and the updating, all that starts to add up. Yes, sir. So you can, there's a ton of flexibility also around scenarios where you want to maybe deploy the MSI bits to those people. So then you start doing math and you figure out how many PCs you have and how many users, right? And if you use one per student of their licenses on the PCs that are going to be kind of a pooled PC for a lot of different students, then you just have to do the math and make sure that, you know, you allocate one of those users allocation to one of those PCs in a lab, right? And then the cool thing about the subscription is anybody who falls behind that person, as long as they're an Office subscription, their license may not be applied to that PC, right? You're using one for another PC. It's a little complex in how you, but there's like an algorithm you do to say, okay, I had a hospital that said, hey, we have 1,000 doctors and 4,000 PCs, right? And so the way we did the math is we said use each of the doctors one subscription, one allocation for a PC, and then everybody else can roam around between without burning up their one multiple allocations for themselves, if that makes sense. Yeah, so there may be scenarios where you want to use MSI bits. We'd have to do the math for you. But there's some flexibility, like our user, what is it, the product use rights. Like we even have folks that are that say, hey, this is great, but we also have a VDI environment, right? And so how do we handle it there? And so part of our product use rights is we will let you take the MSI bits in certain scenarios, and again, you're using one of your device allocations, even though you're using the MSI bits. So multiple devices, pretty key, especially now in this era of consumerization of IT. Now Office on Demand. So here's a new scenario that's unlocked with Office 365 Pro Plus. And basically, if you think of, I call it the in-law scenario, where maybe I'm a business traveler, I'm at a kiosk in a hotel, or I'm at the airport, or I'm at my in-laws for Thanksgiving, and someone says, hey, Brent, I need you to go and put the final touches or create this workbook or this PowerPoint presentation from scratch. I know you're on vacation, but so-and-so got sick, and I need you to jump in and help. Office on Demand is brand new, and it allows me from any modern browser to go log into Office 365, and as long as I'm on a Windows 7 or Windows 8 PC, I can log into the Office 365 portal, and I can click on launch the full-blown version of PowerPoint, Word, Excel, OneNote, and those applications get streamed just like I talked about us streaming the full suite down to your endpoints. We will stream just that specific application down to your endpoints temporarily. And you do not have to be an administrator on that box for that to happen. And so that's a pretty unique scenario where, again, you can see where we're starting to allow you to extend productivity to a lot of different places using Office 365 Pro Plus. A little caveat there is, again, the entry point into launching that, it would require you have like SharePoint Online as well. So you'd have to have a plan that came with SharePoint Online so that you could actually get to the launch Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. It's just part of that dashboard. Yes. So the answer to both of those are yes. So the first question is was about reporting. So what happens is your end users have a dashboard that shows you five different their five allocations, right? And so let's say that that I'm a person in my organization and my department, IT department, deploys one to my organizational issued laptop. I have four more to use, right? Let's say that I go and I install them on four different machines, a couple of them at home, right? Then I get one of my machines crash or something happens and I'm like, well, I need to reprovision a machine, or I sold that machine, I've wiped it clean, I have a new machine. What'll happen is as soon as you go to activate it as an end user, it will basically prompt you and say, hey, you've already used up your five allocations, and you get to then go right to the report and say, okay, I'll remove this one. I just got, you know, I sold it or I threw it away, and replace it with activating this machine here. The second one is around activation. And so today, Office uses KMS or Mac to activate, and you set up the servers there. Now what happens is when the user launches Office for the first time, it says, hey, log in. So they log in. We basically go and get a token from Office 365 and bring it down to that machine. And then every 30 days, I believe, we go and send just that token up to our content delivery network and say, hey, so there's nothing in that token about the person. There's no PII in it. It's just, hey, is this token still valid? We go up to our cloud, and we verify that token is still valid. And then we just send it back and say, yep. And so that is the phone home scenario. So if there's a scenario where the business can't phone home, you will go into, eventually you'll go to reduced functionality mode, but it will. You have this grace period before that happens. Now if you know there's business, like certain cruise ships, for example, sometimes they may be gone for, you know, I don't know, 6 months, right? That would be a problem, right? Because it has to do a phone home every so often, every 30 days. Yeah, so if you do not provide the means to do an activation with our cloud, then Office 365 Pro Plus simply won't work. There's no way to use KMS or Mac with that. It uses our retail activation to activate. So, good questions. I want to make sure I get through some of the demo stuff as well. So, pace of innovation is another huge value add, right? So no more waiting 3 years. So if you think of training, I spend a significant amount of my time doing end user training and adoption sessions. Like, hey, let me show you what's new in Office. So your company purchased it. Because people in lines of business, they don't have a lot of time to say, oh, let me go see what's new in Office, right? They just know how to do things. They've been doing it for 10 years. And so there's all these capabilities that a lot of times they'll come to IT and say, we need this, and it's already been in there, maybe even the version before, right? And so there's a lot of awareness efforts that that I think because IT pros spend so much time trying to just deploy Office that they don't spend, they don't have the luxury of spending a lot of time on the training aspects. And so that's where I think folks can be a lot more strategic to the business once you can offload a lot of the worry and concern and risk associated with deploying because of the things I talked to you about before. And so the way that, because you're now in a services model with Office 365 Pro Plus, you can expect quarterly point releases, right? So a lot of innovation coming out extremely quickly. And so you'll be able to consume and you get to stay up with this pace of innovation. So a good example of that is like the acquisition we made from Yammer. We've learned a lot from those guys. They have a really neat design principle where they have a segment of their users that are using Yammer, and they pump out new features, and they just kind of see, hey, how do people respond to these, right? So we don't do things exactly that way, but it shows how when you're in the services model, we can really keep you up to date. And so one of the things you'll notice is Microsoft will, as we move forward, start talking a lot less about upgrades and a lot more about updates, right? So if you've launched Word today, Office 365 Pro Plus, you'll notice it just says Word. If you launch Outlook, it just says Outlook. It doesn't say like it used to, like Word 2013, Outlook 2013. And the reason for that is eventually we'll be in this world where you just have Office, right? And you constantly have the latest and greatest Office. And there's really nothing you set back and you just consume it. And if you're in an organization, your IT folks can control how often you get those updates. But there's also an option to say, hey, just automatically get the updates from Microsoft when they come out. So the training efforts, again, we think there's a lot of value in this because gone are the days of you having to go out and say, okay, everybody get in a room, you know, we're going to fill an auditorium, we're going to go through tips and tricks for, you know, all of the apps, half of which people will forget, you know, by lunchtime. And so here you'll have, you as an IT organization will be able to really get out and say, hey, listen, Microsoft just released this sync and share capability that you've been asking us for, and because we're partnering more with you and listening and more integrated with, you know, your needs, we can now go and expose you to that. So we don't have to go buy another tool. It exists today, and let's show you how to use it. And so we really see that taking off quite a bit. So this is where, again, we go from kind of a less tactical, where you're spending, you will spend, some organizations will spend maybe a couple months, but in comparison to 2 years, that is, I think, a home run. And some organizations that are a little smaller will literally just throw it over the wall and say, hey, listen, we know it's going to run side by side. We have a much better handle on what you guys in the field are doing, and so we know we're not going to disrupt business, so we're not going to put any really upfront testing involved. Yes. Oh. That's right. Yeah, so that is certainly one of our key principles is we don't expect to ever release something that is going to disrupt business, right? So for example, a file format change, right? That would be a significant change for us, and it would, I think, probably lead to some disruption with our customers if you just willy-nilly said, hey, get these updates. So this is the first run at Office 365 Pro Plus, right? That's something that we certainly have as one of the guiding principles for how we push out updates. And so there's some interesting, we haven't done that yet, so I'm not sure how we're going to handle it. But one of the things regarding the UI from an end user perspective, the ribbon is here. It's now completely integrated into Windows as well. It's been here since 2007. It's contextual. We've gotten a lot of great feedback after the first initial bump in 2007. We learned a couple lessons where we got rid of the little office button and brought back the word file, right? The lovely four-letter word that made a lot of people feel much more at home. But absolutely, we're laser focused on not disrupting you with updates. And when there is something that we think is going to be a significant update, there will be a mechanism in which you'll have, again, very little risk in deploying that. So it might be that, you know, there's another app V version. I'm thinking out loud here. I'm not telling you what we are doing, but that's the approach. So the idea here is, from an IT pro perspective, because we're now in the services model, we see a trend where a lot more of the businesses are making decisions, right? So they certainly want IT there to help with those decisions. And so you can now become kind of the hero by saying, hey, listen, I know really well, instead of me having to focus again on all the deployment efforts, I can focus on being a partner with you and telling you what solutions work best, which ones are more secure, what do we already own, and let me show you how to go and use those, right? And be that kind of business partner so you don't always have to call Microsoft in to do tips and tricks. And so we consider that kind of this innovation conduit, right? So because we're on this train of innovation, every quarter you get new updates and a lot of new value from Microsoft, you may want to shift gears and say, hey, I want to keep up with this. And we've got some interesting things happening from a content perspective at Microsoft to make sure that IT pros like yourselves can really keep up with our pace of innovation and know, hey, here's a really significant capability that we think is going to be important for your line of business, and be kind of on the front lines of going and evangelizing that and being that partner with your business. So now, I want to shift gears and let's go into kind of the adoption piece. And so this is going to be all demo here. And then again, I'll show you some resources at the end. So I always start my demo in the product that I have found most people start their day with, and that's their mail client, right? So here, I'm assuming everyone's using Outlook. And so Outlook, again, is where everybody typically starts and figures out, is my boss or my colleagues asking me to reprioritize something that's on my calendar? Do I have a customer that's asking me to respond to something? And so let's talk about a little bit of why your end users are going to love the new Outlook. And then I plan on showing you OneNote and some key capabilities there. And I'll also talk about searching. So rarely do I ever get in a conversation with an organization where they're like, look, we need to be able to search for experts a lot better. We need to be able to search for content. Microsoft, help us. You know, what does that look like from your productivity platform? And then I'll end with what I think is the best of all, and that's an Excel demo, right? And so some of the new capabilities that you may or may not have seen with the new Excel. So the first thing I want to show you guys is I'm actually presenting this all to you from my Surface Pro device, which is a touch-enabled device. So the first thing I want to show you is what touch mode looks like in Outlook. So I'm going to go up on the quick access bar. I'm going to use my mouse just to show you where this is and certain things as I'm navigating. But I'm going to click on that with my finger there, and I'm going to put it in touch mode. And you'll notice the UI kind of expands. There's a lot more spacing between different controls. So I can literally navigate. If I'm sitting on the couch or if I'm on an airplane, I don't have to get my mouse and keyboard out to be productive, right? And so I'm a deleter, admittedly, in Outlook. And so one of my most favorite commands in Outlook is to delete. And so one of the things you'll notice on the right-hand side, when we put it in touch mode, we immediately have, you know, if you think of holding a tablet, right, your thumbs are kind of freed up. And so that delete key or the reply key is available, or the move or the flag command. So all the most popular commands that we find end users leverage are on that right quick access bar. And so let's see, I'll come down here and I'll see that someone is asking questions about mosquito spray. So I'll select that, and then I'm going to go and hit the delete key, get rid of that, and I've hit it on the right hand side. And here's another person asked me about mulch delivery, and I'll delete that. I'll come down. Here's 208 items here I'm going to click on, delete those there. And now with touch also, if I go to my calendar, you'll see that I have my calendar here. I can, with my fingers, pinch and zoom. And if I pinch in, I get to go quickly from a week view to a month view. If I pinch out, I go back to the week view, pinch out again, I'll go to a day view. If I go to a month view and I just use my finger to scroll, you'll see that I can scroll. And I don't have to, I'm not forced to go month to month. I can go, you know, the first week of one month into the third week of the other. I'll go back to my mail app here. And so let's see what else I can do. I'm going to click to expand the folders. And again, on the left-hand side, I can navigate all my folder structures here and dive into things if I want. I'll collapse that again. So I'm going to go back to mouse mode now. So one of the things about touch mode is it's prevalent in all of the Office applications. And so each application, though, takes unique advantage of touch mode. So Excel, I'll show you some interesting things that it does that wouldn't make sense to do in Outlook, for example. So now let's think of some other things, reasons why your end users are going to love Outlook. So you'll see I'm down here. I'm looking at this email from Brett Austin. And he's saying, hey, don't forget to send me your address. So I'm going to come over here and I'm going to hit reply. You'll notice we have inline reply in Outlook now, right? So I'm going to come and type in, I'll say, please see the attached document. Thanks, Brent. And I'll hit send. Now, how many times have you each done that, right? So you send out an email to half of your organization and then someone, usually it's a friend of yours, will come back and say, hey, you forgot the attachment. And you're like, oh my gosh. So then you have to reply all again and say, sorry, here's the attachment. So now just little subtle things like this where we're like, look, we'll prevent you from embarrassing yourself. Don't forget to put the attachment in that you mentioned. I'm going to go ahead and say, don't send that. And I'm going to go attach the document in a second. And then I realize that underneath, there's someone saying, hey, great job, Brent. So admittedly, I have a little touch of ADD. And so it's like, woo, squirrel, shiny object, right? So I immediately focus down there and like, let's see how someone is telling me that I did a good job. And it's configuring, okay. So here's Leah saying, hey, Brent, great job in the demo on Friday. I enjoyed it. You know, you're the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, oh, that was so cool. Now, before this new version of Outlook, what would have happened to that draft email, right? It would have went to my drafts folder, and then probably a month down the road, I would have said, let me go see what's in my drafts folder, and I would have noticed that I had like 15 items that I meant to send but never did. Notice what we do in Outlook is we actually give you a really neat indicator saying, hey, here's that email that you were sending to Brett Austin, right? You'll see the little orange draft notification here. And if I click on it, it allows me to go right back there and see as part of my mailbox, hey, you never sent this. So I don't have to, you know, think about all these drafts landing in my drafts folder without being able or not actually sending them down the road. So let's go and look up here. And you're going to notice I have two emails at the top from Neil Axelrod. And I don't know if you guys know Neil Axelrod, but he's a colleague of mine from my district. And he's a superstar with All Things Exchange. And so he and I are collaborating on some stuff. And so here's a pretty typical scenario where he's like, hey, Brent, actually, I'll show you this one first. He's telling me, hey, let's get this project kicked off. So this is pretty typical. You know, we're all business users, and people say, hey, do you have time to meet on this day? And here's an address here, and, you know, here's some things that we might want to bring to the meeting. So you'll notice one of the things that's brand new to the new Office is Apps for Office. And so the great thing about these Apps for Office is they are available, whether you're in a rich client or in scenarios like this with Outlook, even if you're in OWA, you'll have access to these apps for Office. And so I'll show you what I mean. You'll notice here's a typical email from Neil, right? And all of these little apps for Office controls pop up here in the header of this email. And so this is, you can tell that he's added an address here. So I can click on the Bing Maps app for Office, and it automatically says, hey, we think we found an address, here it is, and it'll map it out. And so I'll click on, yep, that's the address there. And you can notice I can come down and get directions. So typically, I can't count how many times I've gotten an address from an account manager that says, hey, I need you to go see my customer, and then I take it and I put it into Bing Maps, and then I have to go click on directions. So now we allow you to do all of that right here without ever leaving Outlook, right? So you can see how we're starting to save you a lot of time. Here, I have another one, suggested meetings. So you'll notice when I click on it, it actually highlights where it thinks someone's asking me to meet with them. And so you'll see that it comes up and says, hey, we think someone's asking you to meet at 8 o'clock on Friday, October 25th. And I can click on schedule a meeting. It automatically automates what that meeting, who the attendees are, and what the body of the meeting would be, et cetera. And then the other one is action items. So it literally will go through and it identifies where it thinks someone has asked me to do something in an email. So all these apps for Office allow me to really expedite doing things like creating tasks, creating calendar items, and understanding where I perhaps may be driving that day. So now I'll go to this email, and you'll notice, again, that Neil has said, hey, I need help identifying a resource, a SharePoint expert for this project, perhaps. And this is a really typical scenario that we see customers using a lot. So an email drops in your inbox, and there's a quick follow-up. So maybe I'm looking at this email, I'm like, well, what city do I need to help him find an expert in? So you'll notice everywhere in the new office we have presence, right? So I see that Neil is, in fact, online. Because I see his picture and I see this little red bar, I see that he's busy for the next 8 hours. He happens to be here in the, not the front row, but four rows back there. And so I'm going to reach out to Neil. And instead of me reaching out via an email, I'm just going to basically hover over his picture and say instant message him. Now what's nice about this is notice we took the subject of the email that he sent me saying, hey, I need help, and we put it in the window of the instant message conversation, right? So that he knows immediately when I reach out and I say, hey, where do we need someone? It's not just out of the blue where he's like, what in the world are you talking about? He sees in the window what the conversation is all about. So pretty neat stuff. So he's going to say, Bourbon Street, I'd rather you not do that. Neil, let's pick another location where we actually have some SharePoint specialists. How about Atlanta? Put in Atlanta, Neil. Okay, good. So I think Neil just wants to travel back to Bourbon Street in a little while. So this is a real scenario where he's like, hey, it's Atlanta because we're in the southeast, and that's part of our territory. So this is where we talk about searching for experts, right? So we've had an email come in. This is a pretty good day in the life scenario. And we're like, okay, he wants an expert. I've reached out with instant messaging. I kind of elevated this from an email reply to getting instant communication back and forth saying, okay, I want to go and find this expert. Help me expedite it. Instead of me sending an email and maybe waiting half a day while he wades through all of his other email, he immediately says, oh, sure, I asked you to do something, and now you need some more information to help me, so I'll give you a response very quickly. So this is where I'll shift gears, and now that he said Atlanta, I'm going to go and to SharePoint. And so this is our production SharePoint environment at Microsoft. It services around 140,000 employees, if you count contractors. And so this is the new SharePoint, SharePoint 2013. And pretty much everywhere in SharePoint, you have a search bar, right? So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go anywhere in SharePoint, and I'm just going to search, and I'm going to say, I need a SharePoint, if I could spell, specialist in Atlanta. And the drop down here gives me the option to immediately hone into people. And so when I search for people that quickly, and again, I promise this is our production environment at Microsoft, I'm able to go find all sorts of associates. What we've done is we've basically issued a search query, right? This is the new search center in SharePoint. And it says, here's all of the people that for whatever reason we found were SharePoint specialists in Atlanta. And so I can scroll through here and I can find maybe someone who's online, and it's after hours there, we're an hour behind them. But let's just say, and that didn't do us any lucky, oh, Barthy's online, okay. So there's Barthy, you'll see that her presence is green, so she is online. So this is a scenario where I could reach out to Barthy. Remember that contact card that we had in Outlook when I hovered over Neil's picture with the presence? Well, this looks identical, right? So think of end user adoption. Anytime you can allow a predictable, consistent experience to an end user, the adoption skyrockets, right? So we have found Link to be a huge enabler for really new ways of communicating and getting results much quicker because it's everywhere, right? So I've shown you in Outlook. I've shown you here in SharePoint where I can start a link conversation. I can elevate it to video. In fact, if I started this with Barthy, and then I don't know how dark this will be, but I can come in and I can kind of get the green screen to see if I have broccoli in my teeth before I go to video, right? So some of the new capabilities of link there that didn't exist in the previous versions. I can share my desktop. I can do all kinds of stuff, right? And these are all that. This is that really integrated, compelling experience that end users, I think, are clamoring for. And it comes with our entire productivity suite. So now that maybe I've reached out to Barthy and said, hey, can you help with this project? And she says yes, then I'm back to Neil. And I can go in and say, hey, found Barthy, blah, 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 and we're off to the races. So let's go and do some other fun stuff very quickly. I think we're doing good on time. I'm going to go back to Outlook here. And one of the things I want to show you is, and I want to see a showing of hands if you don't mind, how many of you attend meetings every day? Right? And how many of you keep your hand up if most of the time you carry a spiral-bound paper notebook with a ballpoint pen with you in those meetings? Nice. How many of you use OneNote? Nice. I love each of you that raised your hand. Okay. So here's the thing that you may or may not know about OneNote. So I do run into a lot of people that use OneNote, and I will tell you, people either love OneNote or they've never used OneNote. It's very rare that I find somebody who used it and said, nah, it's not worth anything. People love it, but a lot of people just don't know about it. And so the idea today is to show you why OneNote matters and why your end users, right, your business partners are going to love OneNote. And so especially when you think of OneNote on devices like the Surface Pro, where I'm finding more and more, it's kind of bad etiquette when you're in a meeting and someone's talking to sit there and... But it's okay if you have that pen and paper out, right? So the same thing applies with OneNote, taking digital notes. So let me show you kind of the integrated experience in Outlook and OneNote. So let's say I have a meeting, and here's a meeting here where it's ask the experts I have to show up to, and this could be a customer meeting or what have you. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to select that in my calendar, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm on the way to this meeting, and I'm going to take some notes. And so I'm going to click on the meeting contextual tab in the ribbon, and I'm going to tell it to take meeting notes. And so the first thing it's going to do is it's going to say, do you want to take notes on your own? And I'll say yes. And it's asking me where I want to put these notes. So I'm going to put these notes into, let's see, I need to come find it here. Here's my onboarding notebook, and we'll put it in meeting notes. So this notebook happens to be a OneNote notebook that's hosted on a community site that I'm a member of. And so once I'm taking notes here, anybody who has permissions to the notebook will be able to see all of my notes. And so here's where I can go in and take some really cool notes. And let's go and put it in full screen. Let's first go in and say view and put rules and then put it in a full screen mode. And I can say, you know, Neil helped with demo, and I can say, you know, prototype, if I could draw. So when we talk about handwritten notes, most people I show this to, hands start going up and they say, yeah, but how good does OneNote do of translating my handwritten notes into text? And I say, well, why do you want to translate, convert your handwritten notes to text? And they said, so that I can search on it later, right? And so what a lot of people don't know about OneNote is that you don't have to ever convert your handwritten notes to text, because we optical character recognize all of your handwriting, and you can search on it really, really quickly. And find all of your notes. And so one of the things that I've asked when I see an executive, for example, in a meeting, and they have this really nice notebook, you know, that's paper with their ballpoint pen, I always say, hey, if someone came to you and said, 18 months ago we were in a meeting with vendor XYZ, and they mentioned a product, you know, can you go find those notes? And I had one gentleman say, absolutely. And I was like, really? How do you do it? And he said, I've been taking notes since, you know, 1999. And I'm like, how in the world, what is your method of doing that? And he says, well, I have 4 children, right? And I have a $20 bill, and there's times where I'll be like, okay, kids, who wants $20? Go find me, in 19, you know, 2010, I had a meeting, and I was like, are you, and he was dead serious, and he was like, it is, I mean, he was joking too, and he's like, it's horrible, like, I can't find anything, but I try and see if my kids can go find it for me. So I want to show you how that searching works. So we're able to take these notes. Now, there are scenarios where maybe you're in a meeting, you're like, I need to quickly share these notes with someone who's not part of this community site. And so some of the integration that I love showing is the ability to come in, and I'll say, let's go in and let's send this page with all the details to someone. So it will launch Outlook, and this is basically sending an email to all of the meeting attendees. But this is where I can go in and say, Neil, Axelrod, you weren't here in the meeting, so I'm going to send you these notes. And now Neil, on whatever device, as long as it has an HTML-enabled email render app, it will be able to show the full fidelity of all my handwritten notes, all the attendees, and all the notes that I sent. But now let's go over here. Let's shut down this. And let's go over to my community site. And so this is my fictitious Witchell Tools community site for onboarding new employees. So I'm going to come in and I'm going to search. And I'm going to say, oh, shoot, what is the word that I'm looking for? So let's search for prototype, please. What is the, hold on. So we could do prototype. It may not have, the SharePoint may not have indexed it, so I'm going to go and find another one real quickly. Okay, that's one. All right, so I'm going to shut it down, and I'll type action. So OneNote OCRs it right away, but when you upload it to SharePoint, depending on how you have your indexing configured, it may take an hour or so for it to show up. But you'll see that I had one that I created the other day, and it's already indexed. So I search for the word action, and of course it shows in the search center, so I click on meeting notes, and it's going to open that up in the web app, the OneNote web app, and it will highlight exactly where it found the word action, which was my handwritten notes. And so think of not only were we able to use OneNote to take digital notes and immediately share them with a lot of other colleagues that we wanted to collaborate with, but then also anybody now can go in and search for, let's say, a customer name with action. And if someone's handwritten notes, it will find and discover those. So it's all about how quickly you can go in real-life scenarios, search for content, search for experts, et cetera. So let's talk for a second, back in Outlook, about getting content into SharePoint. So how many of you, raise your hand if you've heard of site mailboxes? Okay, cool. So I was hoping that a lot of you didn't, and you didn't raise your hand. So I'm going to introduce you very quickly to site mailboxes. So site mailboxes is a great collaborative effort, the result of a great collaborative effort between our SharePoint team, our Exchange team, and our Office team. And so if you have been around SharePoint and Office for a while, you know that there hasn't always been the best experience from an end-user perspective in getting content into SharePoint. And so here's a scenario where Neil has sent me this new Office for Enterprise Customers doc, and you'll notice I have this onboarding, it looks like another folder, right, or a PST or something here in Outlook. In reality, if you look over here, what did I do with my browser window? Shoot. All right, let me re-log in. I don't know how that happened. So let me come over here and do Office 365 sign-in. Brent at... All right, so that should bring me to this. Yes, go to sites, and you should see onboarding here. Okay. So you'll see I have this community site in SharePoint that's called Onboarding, and it has these documents in it, right? So I have an external sharing folder, and then I have this customer survey summary. So if I look over here in Outlook, you'll see again that I have onboarding. Now, site mailboxes, when you add a site mailbox to a site in SharePoint, it basically has its own email address where people can email that community, right? And everybody who has permission to that site mailbox can go in and check the email. So think of help desk scenarios where maybe you have, you know, shift one and shift two, or think of people that are new to the organization, and they're like, you know, if you think of onboarding new hires, you're like, hey, go shadow Neil for, you know, a month or two and find out everything that he did last year up to this point. Well, if you have a site mailbox like this that's tied to an initiative or a project or a community, then that person can just go spend time at their leisure going through that email and figuring out, hey, project so-and-so, searching for it, figuring out what has transpired way before they ever started in that project or that company for that matter. And so here's how easy it is. Let's say that I want to put this, the new Office for Enterprise Customers doc, into that SharePoint site. Well, the site mailbox, because I have that now coming into Outlook, also shows me any document library that's part of that community. So it's as easy as me taking this attachment, dragging it, and just dropping it on documents here. And if I click on that, you'll see it'll give me a rendering of the documents that are in that site mailbox document library. And so in a minute, what's italicized here, if I hit the sync button here, it should go out and synchronize it. But when that becomes a non-italicized font, there it is. Now we know that that has been uploaded. So if I go back over here and hit F5, you should see that now we have two documents there. So instead of me having to go to SharePoint to put content into SharePoint, now if I have site mailboxes, right, for communities, any document library, I can just drag and drop stuff from Outlook, and now share that easily with anybody who's a member of that community, right? Yes, sir. So calendars by default are integrated with Outlook. If you go in to any calendar in SharePoint and say connect it to Outlook, you automatically, as long as you have permission, it pulls it in. Good question. All right, so that's one way to get stuff into SharePoint. How many of you have heard of SkyDrive Pro? Okay, so a couple, that is a really hot topic out in the field. So when I'm in front of customers, it seems like file, sync, and share, everybody is asking for it, and SkyDrive Pro is our solution for offering that in a very secure manner using SharePoint. So I want to show you what the user experience is there. So I'm going to get out, and I'm going to go over to my, let's see, I'll go back to my community site over here. So you'll see I have that collaboration hub there, and that's just a document library, right? This is just a document library that we're collaborating as part of the onboarding community. And so I'm going to go open up Windows Explorer here, and let's go look at perhaps my desktop, and there's a put into SharePoint folder. And so you'll notice I have a couple of, that's five different Office files. I'm going to take these three, and I'll just drag them, and I will drop them on that document library, and we immediately now hydrate those files on SharePoint. So if you think of the old days, even in 2010, you would say, okay, I got to go to SharePoint. I'm going to say, let's upload file. You'll get a nice window that pops up, and you say, let's browse, and then you say multiple files, and then you could go and select multiple files and put in SharePoint. And now we're basically giving your users that drag and drop capability. Now, what's great about this is every document library in SharePoint has the ability to do that drag and drop. But also, every document library has the ability to sync offline. And so that is a huge capability that end users are saying, hey, I'm a little reluctant to put my stuff in a server environment if I don't have connectivity. So the answer is put everything in SharePoint and then come up there one time as an end user and click this sync button. And then what happens is a little piece of GUI will pop up, and it'll say, hey, we're going to take all the contents that are in this document library, and we're going to bring them offline on your local machine. And so from that point on, we're going to keep it synchronized, and we're only going to synchronize the delta. So if I have files that are, you know, 50, 100 megs, and I just change one word in one PowerPoint slide, it's only going to change that one word. And so I'll say show my files, and so this will show me in Windows Explorer all of those files that have now been synced local. So if I change something on an airplane, and then I immediately get off the airplane, go to Starbucks and reconnect, and I want the team to have all my updates. As soon as I connect and I get access to Office 365, bloop, all those changes go up to the server. Yes, sir. So as administrators, how do you prevent the wealth of employees from sharing with other people? So there's a couple answers there. It's a pretty common question. The first one is, if you want any information, so let's say you're like, I love the idea of having stuff offline, but I don't want it to get into the wrong hands, use rights management, right? So we have a part of Windows Server that's called rights management services. You apply that to a particular file, right? And if that gets in the wrong hands, it's encrypted, you can't break it unless you're that logged in user. The other thing you can do is there was a, there's, I'm sure, more sessions this week even around e-discovery, right? So a lot of times you just want to know, is someone in violation of sharing information, right? Or who's discussing what? And so we have a all-encompassing e-discovery console now as part of Office 365 that you can go in, and you can say, I want to issue a command. I want to know when, I want to issue a command that says Neil Axelrod within 30 characters of some, you know, secret code name project that he should not be sharing with anyone. And I issue that command, and it will search across SharePoint, link conversations, Exchange, and file shares if you have file shares being indexed. And so from an e-discovery and compliance perspective, you now have all the tools you need to go in and make sure you can see what people are doing. But also, this is just a SharePoint site, so you can permission it. Let's say you have executives discussing a lot of stuff and sharing stuff. You can say nobody other than those executives have permission. The inverse is we have customers that are looking at other file sync and share, and there's no e-discovery, right? There's no integrated experience, so they have no idea. And so a lot of times, and you guys may have already done this, you block a lot of those external sync and share capabilities.
How about managing the size of the client size cache? Because it's got a limit set in there now, I don't know, say 5 gigs, and they dump a whole lot of crap down in there, and all of a sudden they need 10. How do you have to go out and address it individually? Is that happening, or what? How do you do that?
So let me make sure I understand the question. You're saying that they don't have enough hard drive space?
No, they have plenty of hard drive space, but the client size cache is defined at 5 gigs.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, so I, that's a good question, I don't know. Here's what I would ask. Come to the Ask the Experts and we'll get it answered. Come find me and I'll go find the right person. I don't know the answer to that one. I will tell you that, again, the initial hit on syncing, right? I mean, obviously you're gonna bring those files down locally, but then after that we just sync the delta, so it's a pretty low tax on your bandwidth. Okay, last few minutes here, I'm gonna wow you with Excel. So that was kind of the SharePoint and SkyDrive Pro intro. So I know I'm just scratching the surface on a lot of these as well. So please, maybe I'm whetting your appetite to go in and getting deeper dives this week. So here's Excel. The new Excel is all around data analysis and visualization. So you'll see I have kind of this financial statement for my fictitious Witchell Tools company. The first thing I want to do is identify trends in this data, because we've learned over the years, and I'm sure you'll agree, that with Excel, you typically go in and crunch some numbers and analyze numbers, and then you're like, okay, I need to present this to someone so we can make some decisions. So I want to show you how really interesting we've made Excel for doing that. So the first thing I want to do is identify trends in this data. So I'm going to go to the Insert tab, and I'm going to say let's use one of the column type spark lines. I'm going to go to the business numbers, and I'm going to say, let's trend January through December. So we have this nice trend line or spark line that pops up, and I'm going to do some things like, let's make the high point green, because green is good in this scenario. And then the low point red, so that I, again, everything's visual, right? So then I come in here and I drag that down, and now I can go in and do some things like, oh, wow, why was glue a hot seller in, January? Here. So now I'm going to go do the same thing for profits, but I'll show you a different type of a spark line. And so some people like this line type. And so I'll go, and since we're doing profits, I'll use the profits table here, and I'll bring that down. And I might want to add the markers indicating the months of the year. And then I can drag that down. And so now I've kind of completed this sheet where it's a nice looking dashboard. If I'm an executive, I can come in and I probably have what I want. You know, I can say, oh, wow, look, we had a spike here for profits. Let's dig in and see what that is. Let's move over here to employee data. And I did not know that this was a hot topic for our Excel community, but what I have learned since the release of Excel, this new Excel, is that people spend a significant amount of time pulling data, this part I did know, from a lot of disparate back-end data warehouses, only to find that there's a column that's maybe concatenated a string. And they're like, how do I, if I look at this employee ID, how would I go and extract Anna, Brent, and Tom and leave the number out of it, right? So we have this new capability. I'm sure you've seen it. It's called Flash Fill. And it's as easy as me coming in and saying Anna, and then I'll come down here and I'll type Brent. And when I type B, it automatically, Excel is smart enough to say, hey, I see that you're going and pulling just the name and leaving the number out of that column there. So I'll hit the Enter key, and we've extracted all of that. So that's pretty compelling, right? So, again, I didn't know that people spend that much time doing this, but I've had people literally, and again, I'm from the Southeast, right? So I had one lady who was in the front row of one of my sessions literally stand up and say, hallelujah. So I was like, wow, this is really cool stuff. So now I want to do the same thing with numbers. So I'm going to type in 342, and then I'll come down and I'll type the number 3, and then hit Enter. And then if I hit Control-E, you can force the flash fill. So you basically, if you hit Control-E, you're saying, hey, Excel, go figure out what I'm doing. And so you'll see that it, rightly so, went and pulled just the numbers out. Now, this is where it gets kind of fancy, right? Let's say that I have multiple data sources I'm pulling into Excel using something maybe like Power Pivot. And I'm like, well, I have one field in this one data set that has last name, comma, first name, and I want to create a relationship, so I need to create that in this data set. And so we can also use Flash Fill to do interesting things like, let's type in Witchell, comma, Anna, and then I'll come down here and type in, let's say, Thomas. And again, it automatically picks up that I'm now taking the last name, put in a comma, and then first name. If I hit Enter, we immediately allow you to go in and pre-fill that. So, okay, let's move along. So now, let's talk a little bit about touch mode. And we've got a few minutes left here. I'm going to burn every bit of it. Let's talk about touch mode in Excel. So one of the really neat things about Excel is when you touch a different cell, we put these bubbles on the upper left and bottom right-hand side of the cell in touch mode. So I can easily go in and I can select different ranges. So again, if I'm on the couch, if I'm on an airplane, I can go in and do some analysis and visualization. Notice this new control down here whenever I select a range of data. And this is what we call the quick analysis control. And so I can just hover over things like data bars or color scales to give a heat map or icon sets, right? And give, again, really quickly allow the beginner or novice Excel user to create visualizations that typically a intermediate or expert Excel person would only be able to do. And so I'm going to go in and let's maybe do this. Let's do this. Let's do this, right? So real pretty. So the reason I always do this is if you ever receive content like this, you can select it, and then you can go in and you can say, let me dismiss that, and you can say clear the formatting there, and you're back to normal. The thing I love about this is my favorite part of this is the suggested charts. So if I click on charts here, and I say more charts, we now take the data that you've selected and we create these thumbnails, if you will, of all the different ways that you may want to look at that data. And so I'm going to go ahead and select this one here, which for those of us who are kind of advanced Excel users, we could do this, but it would have taken us a lot longer than it just took me, right? But what's really nice is, let's say, again, we always think of sharing information with people. So let's say I'm the recipient of this workbook and I'm like, wow, so this is Brent's analysis of the stuff that he cares about. But what if I only cared about Q1 and Q2 and my customers are only AdventureWorks and City Power and Light and apply that? You see how quickly just by selecting that chart, I have these controls hanging off of it that allow me to go and analyze and visualize data that's important to me. So you've got smart people in your organization who are taking all this big data, and they're visualizing it, and then they're sharing it with others, right? But then we also enable those people to very easily go in and change the visualization based on what's important to them. And let's go. We've got, I'm seeing 10 seconds here. All right, so I'm going to skip that, and let's go to the last grand finale is something we call power, hold on here, go back to Excel. And come on. So when we talk about visualizing data, there's a lot of scenarios where I may want to go in and use this. It's not released yet, but it's in. It's pretty close to, I believe, something we call GeoFlow. And so GeoFlow is all about taking data that's in Excel and geographically visualizing it in a 3D manner. And so if you've not been by the office booth, we have this running on a PPI display at the office booth in the expo hall. But I'll give you kind of an idea of how this looks. So I'm going to go ahead and click on play the animation. And so what this is showing you is this is the city of Dallas, Texas, and power consumption that is basically, we pulled it into Excel, and we're able to now visualize it. And what's really neat is this is all interactive, so I could, with my finger, go in and touch different aspects of those spikes, right, in different areas, and figure out exactly what that data represents. And you have a lot of flexibility and control over how you display this data. And with touch, you can sit there and rotate around and get different views of the data, spin the map around. And you'll see we have a little heat map there that we were able to kind of hone in on and display. And so again, when you think of, I was at a hospital again the other day, and they're like, wow, think of if there was like an epidemic, right? Being able to go in and visualize that here and go around and figure out what neighborhoods are, you know, there's all kinds of scenarios where this would make a lot of sense to have access to. And so that's something we're really excited about being released very soon. And let's go back to my presentation here, and we're out of time, but since you guys are good sports and staying here with me, I want to just go over this real quickly. So one of the things that that our enterprise customers tend to take advantage of is something we call the home use program, right? Home use program basically allows them to get Office for $9 as a member of your organization. With Office 365 Pro Plus, going back to adoption, you can almost cheat by saying, hey, one of those five licenses, go install it at home. Start using it today, right? And then they're getting accustomed to all the new capabilities, right? And if they're on 2003 and you're trying to expedite them understanding the ribbon, if you bypass 2007 and 2010, and 2013 is the first time they're going to see the ribbon, which is doubtful, but if that's the case, then you're kind of saying, hey, go learn how to be more productive at work but at home, and this is one of the benefits of us getting Office 365 Pro Plus. I have a website, office-411, that I selfishly use to kind of scale throughout my district, so there's all the videos or the demonstrations you've seen today, plus a lot more. I have videoed myself, and they're up there in a format where you can consume them at your leisure. By going and just hitting play and share those with your colleagues at work or what have you. Also, not only is it my own personal content up there, but I know that there's tons of information out there on the web, whether it's on TechNet, MSDN, and so I hope done a good job of kind of weeding through a lot of the things that I find are really relevant and important to IT pros, and I put them in a very consumable way. Kind of hot links to that content. Quick start guides, one of the things that I'll mention is we offer quick start guides from Microsoft. There are links to those quick start guides on my website. And I'll just show you that real quick. This is the last session, so I don't think we're getting pushed out. Let's go to office411.com. So that is, this is my website. And by the way, this website is hosted on Office 365. It's using the new wave of SharePoint Online. This is the external facing site you get as part of SharePoint Online. You'll notice here's all the videos. So if you want Excel, OneNote, Outlook, PowerPoint, even Windows 8, because I have Windows 8 on my machine and I'm constantly talking to customers, even though I'm the productivity guy, about, hey, here's why Windows 8 is really cool and helps you be more productive. SkyDrive Pro, but here's all the stuff for you IT pros. Click to Run, so everything you want to know about Click to Run and all the important links are available here. If I click on Office on Demand, I've mentioned that. The Garage Series, so if you're not familiar with the Garage Series, Jeremy Chapman, who basically is on the team who created Click to Run for Office 365 Pro Plus, he's got like 9 episodes that are webcast, they're recorded. I basically just have them streaming here. I have an embed tag. So all the episodes are hanging off of my site here. I'll give you an example. If I go to Excel here, I mentioned those quick start cards. If you scroll to the bottom, after you can watch the video that kind of walks through the things I showed you. But here's all of the kind of more training. So as you're thinking of, hey, Brent, how can we get our users up to date? There's a lot of training on office.microsoft.com. There's TechNet training, quick start guides here, webinars. We have a guy in corporate who does real quick 15-minute webinars on different topics that are of interest. Every one of my pages on my site under videos will have these 4 components here. So go take advantage of my website if that helps. Again, I've consolidated a lot of things that I think are important to folks like yourself. So with that, I appreciate you guys hanging in there for the, I think, 5 minutes over. Hopefully this was a benefit, and thank you for coming to TechEd and joining us this week.